We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's time for the Derek Sheldon Show. Now, the Derek Sheldon Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
It is indeed time for the Derek Sheldon Show. The Pirates manager is on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline, and Derek Sheldon is brought to you by Moosehead Beer, fiercely independent. Shelty, how are you today?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Well, we watched quite the ball game last night. Ron and I and the callers were debating off the top of the show, and I know there's never a bad game when you win. I get that. We're debating at the top of the show, was that a great baseball game, riveting baseball game, or was it a horrible baseball game? Which was it?
It was a baseball game that the Pirates won. That's the most important thing. I think if you're a true lover of the game of baseball, there were a lot of things that you saw that you're probably never going to see again. If you like clean baseball, it was definitely not that. But you know, honestly, we did a lot of things well offensively last night. You know, pitching-wise, we definitely have some areas we need to improve on. But we did some really good things offensively last night. And I think that's what, you know, if I was looking in reflection of the game, that's what I'm doing.
Derek, obviously you walked 13 guys, so the pitching wasn't very good. Yet you guys made some pretty big pitches at good times, because what were they with runners in scoring position? Something like 1 of 14. So as bad as it was at times, your guys got some pretty big outs.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Ron. I mean, we turned three double plays. We made some ugly innings look pretty at the end because of the fact that we were able to get double plays. And it's a credit to our guys. They made pitches. You know, they may not have made pitches going up to it, but when, you know, everything was on the line, they ended up executing pitches and allowing us to get out of it. And as not clean as the game was, our bullpen did not give up a run, which at the end of the game was an interesting stat that I had not realized.
Did you consider taking out Cool in the first inning or after the first inning, and what made you decide against that, if it even crossed your mind?
Yeah, well, there's a couple points that went. Did we think about it? Yes. I mean, I think we run through all options. The couple points against it were we ran through basically every pitcher we had available last night with the exception of Underwood, and he'll be our length today. And then the other thing is, I mean, it's a long season, and there's some things that we have to get figured out with Chad. And sometimes you have to get it figured out by pitching. And, you know, obviously in his first three starts, he has not been sharp early in games. He has gotten sharper as games went on. He's got good stuff. We have to figure out a way to get in the strike zone more. And it's something that, you know, we talked about last night postgame with him, and something we'll continue to talk about moving forward.
Derek, I want to ask you about a couple pitchers here. And we did this show with Ben Roethlisberger for 7 years, and he always tried to take us inside the huddle, inside the locker room, on the sideline. Hopefully you can do that with a couple pitchers. Everybody saw your hug with Mitch Keller the other night after his performance. Can you share what that conversation was like and what it meant to you and to him?
Well, I can't tell you what it meant to him. I can tell you what it meant to me, and, you know, to go inside a little bit. I just told him I was proud of him. You know, I mean, you know, he's a kid. I think we have to remember that. He's 25 years old. You know, he's been battling with the strike zone. He went out, you know, in that game, walked the first hitter of the game, and then gave us five strong innings. And I just basically wanted him to know, you know, as the manager of the team, that I was proud of him. And that he stepped up and he helped us in a big way, and that he's a big part of what we're doing moving forward. And I think anybody that doesn't think that Mitch Keller is a big part of what we're doing and the foundation we're building, you know, that he is. And I wanted him to know that from me, that I just appreciated his effort. I appreciated the fact that he continuing to grind and work hard at what he's doing. It's not always going to be perfect. We know that. But the fact that he's putting in the effort, you know, I just wanted him to share it. It was not a moment that I that was meant for TV or meant to be put on Twitter or whatever happened with it. But you know, I think that's what happened. But I just wanted him to know from me how I felt.
The other pitcher I wanted to ask you about was Oviedo. You know, baseball's a second-guessing game. A lot of people questioned why you brought him in into a tough situation. Didn't go well. Can you talk about why you brought him in? And then maybe what do you say to a kid? He is a kid, what, 21 years old, after a performance like that?
Well, the decision went into it. You know, the pitcher had hit ninth. He was our length that day. You know, obviously – this job is a second guess job, and I'm fine with that. You know, I mean, I think you and we talked about it last year, and we'll probably continue to talk through it. People aren't always going to agree, and I understand that. We thought it was a good spot for him. You know, he'd pitched well in Cincinnati in a close game, and you know, like we've said before, if we're going to have guys on our roster, depending on our availability that day, they're going to have to pitch, and we wanted him to pitch two innings. We knew the pitcher was nine hitters away or eight hitters away, and we thought it was a good spot. He's a 21-year-old kid that went out and didn't have his best stuff. And I think in reflection of that right now, that's on me because like you stated, Ron, he's 21 years old. He hasn't gone stretches where he hasn't pitched. And, you know, I should have done a better job personally of getting him in a game without sitting 6 days because the stuff we saw in Cincinnati was really sharp with really good velocity, and we didn't see the same stuff. And guys aren't always going to have good stuff, but, you know, that's kind of on me for not getting him in a game sooner and you know, learning experience for me, obviously, with Oviedo. The second part of that, I went up to talk to him the next day, and he was great. For a 21-year-old kid, he's like, yeah, I wasn't good yesterday. That's okay. Give me the ball. I'll go out. I'll be better the next time. So that, you know, that being said, that really stood out of his confidence and how he felt and, you know, very much appreciated. It was well beyond his years.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. It's the Derek Shelton show. So part of what made the game very interesting last night, although not for the guys who got hit, was all the hit batters. At one point, you could tell their dugout was very upset with what was going on, and it was very clear that your dugout was riled up when Evans got hit. When that happened, what went through your mind at that particular moment?
Well, I mean, obviously, as you guys have pointed out, we walked 13 guys, and we hit three other, and, you know, none with malicious intent. You know, we didn't command the strike zone yesterday, and because of that, you know, a couple guys got hit, and that was unfortunate. Now, the one on the backside, there were two outs, nobody on. So, you know, like I said last night, I think you can draw your own conclusions on what that was.
Derek, do you expect any carryover? Do the umpires get involved in this before the game tonight?
No, I mean, sometimes the umpires will come out and talk about what happened last night. But as far as we're concerned, that's over. You know, I mean, we won a game last night. And you know, we didn't pitch exceptionally well, but we were able to win a game, and, you know, we move on and worry about tonight.
Stallings said last night that he wasn't surprised that they came back and hit one of your guys, and I'm wondering how you feel about that, if you weren't surprised either, Shelty, because I guess at some point, whether there's malicious intent or not, it can't be a surprise when you hit that many guys when the other team comes back at you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know, surprised or not surprised. I just think at some point, you know, we have to use common sense in terms of what was happening. And obviously, we weren't trying to hit anybody on purpose.
Derek, we've asked you in the past stuff like, have you ever been involved in no-hitters or cycles or this? Have you ever been involved in a big brawl with another team? What was the most, maybe the worst kind of baseball fight? And we know baseball players are lovers, not fighters. Any stand out in your mind?
I think the one that stands out, and like you said, baseball fights are not usually fights. They're usually a bunch of guys yelling and pushing each other and that. One of the most interesting ones I've been involved in was when I was in Cleveland and the Fausto Carmona hit Sheffield in Sheffield kind of stared at him, and Carmona stared right back at him, and then Sheffield got the first, and Carmona picked over twice and tried to hit him again at first, which was extremely interesting. And then Sheffield charged the mound, or it may have been Carmona charging first. I don't know which one happened. That one got a little bit interesting because I had really never seen anybody hit a guy and then try to hit him again at first, which happened in that game.
Shelty, if it came down to it, I like your chances against a lot of other managers. Should you have to fight another manager? Is there one that you wouldn't want to fight out there? One in particular?
One that I wouldn't want to fight? I don't think I'd want to mess with Gabe Kapler. I mean, I coached Gabe Kapler in Tampa. I mean, he's built like a he's built. Yeah, so I don't know if I'd want to mess with him. And I think he's also knows jiu-jitsu, so that would probably be one that I would not want to tangle with.
So, in other words, he'd kick your butt.
I didn't say that, but I'm saying yes. That's
tonight you get Joe Musgrove, Derek, and I know I'm sure you were absolutely tickled for him to get the other the no-hitter the other night. Clearly, you know, was a very popular teammate and a guy on your team here. It's going to be a little different facing him tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think first and foremost, congratulations to Joe for the no-hitter. Not only was he an exemplary teammate, but, I mean, he was great in the community here. And he really embraced Pittsburgh. And, you know, sometimes when you make trades, they're difficult. And you know, it was a situation where we acquired good players back. But it will be challenging, you know, tonight for the fact that I think the first couple innings, our guys getting, you know, used to facing a former teammate. But after that, it becomes a game. And, I will cheer for Joe Musgrove every single time he pitches, except for against the Pirates.
Shelty, he was never known as much of a prolific strikeout guy. And then late in his Pirates tenure, late last season, something flipped. And he's carried it into San Diego. From your observation, what changed with him? Why did he start striking so many people out?
I think use of the breaking ball. I think that's, you know, what really stands out. I mean, if you watch the last three innings of that no-hitter the other day, he didn't throw a single fastball. And I think part of that credit can go to our staff here. You know, well, I mean, Joe's obviously executing the pitch, but in terms of the mindset, that was started last year here in terms of his conversation with Oscar and Metz, and in terms of his usage. And, you know, Joe being a smart baseball player has taken it and continues to move forward with it. But the execution of his breaking stuff is what I think is putting him in a position to strike out more people now.
Derek, one of your guys, I mentioned this on the air both yesterday and on Monday, one of your guys that's really growing on me is Jacob Stallings. And, man, it seems like I was shocked the other day when I saw he only had three RBIs, and I guess he got a couple more last night. I know he's a really good receiver, but, man, he's turned into a pretty quality at-bat guy, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. And I think last year a lot of growth on the offensive side of the ball, and Rick's done a nice job with him. And the one thing I really think that Jake's doing is he's not trying to do too much in his at-bats. I mean, we saw the big at-bat yesterday off Snell in the first inning. But then later in the game, you know, he gets a base hit to right, and just a line drive to right, not trying to do too much. And I really feel that as he continues to play more and grow, that he's a lot more comfortable in his at-bat.
Did you just get an email, Shelty?
I did. I just opened my computer. Sorry.
Anything good?
No, it's something for my wife, so nothing exciting. Don't tell her I said that.
I won't. I won't.
Please
I am curious, though.
Please do not use that clip at any point. Yeah, please do not use that clip at any point.
I was going to ask this anyway, though, is that the nature of your job, like you sort of have to come in with a clean slate every day. And I'm wondering, a game like last night, how much of that do you take home with you? How much of the game are you replaying? How much tape are you looking at? When do you finally go to sleep? And then what time do you come to the ballpark the next day?
Well, I got to the ballpark about 10 minutes before we started the show, so about 11:50. And then actually last night I watched about five innings of the game. I watched a re-air of the game just because I couldn't sleep. So I was able to watch a little bit of it and you know, internalize a little of it. I normally watch videos different for us. We kind of watch it in clips, different things that happen in the game and kind of break it up. But last night I actually did lay in bed and watch about five innings of the game.
I'm assuming it would be a little more difficult unless you knew how it turned out, right?
Yeah, if you were watching it just regularly, it was probably a little bit more challenging than knowing at the end of the game we were going to win.
Shelty, we appreciate the time, and we will talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
See you. Derek Shelton.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.